the other ball. Ron Hall and Fred Collins is mine, and he's a big Green Bay Packers fan. So the rest of you guys. Look, this is halftime. Let's keep going with Packer analogy here. We just went through the first half. In the first half, this fight was one where we saw the left unplugged. We saw what they want to do. And the people spoke up. We have one of those great founding principles in this country, and we have government by consent of the governed, and you know what? The governed did not consent, and there they went out of the majority. And we have a conservative majority in the House of Representatives now. Policy fights. We're talking about health care and economics and budgets and deficits and debts and this and that. And in these policy fights, you can often get lost in the details. You fail to see the forest through the trees. And so when we look at these policy fights, let's take stock with what this country is all about. Let's make sure we remember what is the purpose and nature of our government. We cannot lose sight of the wisdom of Lincoln, who said repeated that our rights were given by nature and nature's God. We cannot lose sight of the fact that Washington said that the happiness of human beings is a moral case. We cannot take for granted the case for limited government and individual freedom. And so what we got in this last election, put us in this halftime period, is a reaction from the country.
Okay.
And they said, we want something in there to put a stop to this. They said, we want to restore the Constitution and our founding principles. You know the first thing we did when we took the gavel from Nancy Pelosi? We ran it away. So we traded it for a different gavel, actually. We read the Constitution. And you know what? When we were reading the Constitution, I don't remember the provision that said, we need to oversubsidize some industries, overregulate others, and make it an all UI government-defined health insurance. I forgot about that. But what they also said to us in this last election was, we want you to engage in the battle of ideas. No, we want you to engage in the battle of an idea, and that's what this is all about. If you're engaged in the battle of the American idea, what is that? Our rights come from nature and God, not from government.
Thank you.
case, we repeal Obamacare. About the debate we're having this week in the House, we're having a debate about how much we should cut spending, not whether we should spend more or how much less. And you know what? Next week we're bringing a bill forward that's going to cut spending more than the Pledge for America said we would cut. Let me put it this way. Our debt problem is not just a fiscal challenge involving dollars and cents. It's a moral challenge involving questions of principle and service. The size of the budget is a symptom of deeper causes, and it points to different ideas about government. We basically need to ask ourselves, what should government be doing? What sort of people do we want to be? What kind of character do we want our children and grandchildren to have? The answers to these questions dictate the size of government. If you believe government should be doing more to solve every social problem, you cannot also believe in limited government. Society's potential problems are unlimited. So a government that would solve problems without limit must necessarily have power without limit to do it. Yes. Today, there are a lot of people who are saying that modern society is just too complicated for the average man and woman to deal with. This is a long-standing argument. We've heard it since the 1920s and before. We've heard it a lot since the last mortgage crisis and the financial meltdown. They tell us we need more financial experts and technocrats making more details, more decisions without political interference from Congress or from the likes of you. That's what they're basically telling us. Well, if we choose to have a federal government that tries to solve every problem, and then as long as society keeps getting more and more complex, government's going to have to keep going along with it. The rule of law by the people must be reduced. And the arbitrary discretion by experts must be expanded under this worldview. You know how this story ends. Just look across the Atlantic Ocean. If the American person cannot handle the complexity and in their own life, and only government experts can, then that basically means that the government's going to have to direct the average American how to live his or her own life. Freedom becomes a diminishing good. So if we believe that the founding principles are now obsolete, that they're not good enough, that we need more, that is the major flaw in the progressive argument. They have an even bigger flaw in the progressive argument. It is this. It assumes that there must be someone or some few people who have all the knowledge and information. We just have to find, train, and hire more experts to run government agencies. One of the people who founded my political thinking was Friedrich Hayek. We call this notion collectivism's fatal conceit. The idea that a few bureaucrats know what's best for all society or possess more information about human wants and needs than millions of free individuals interacting in a free market is both false and arrogant. It is guided collectivists for two centuries down the road to serve. And the road is littered with their wrecked utopias. The plan always fails. The truth is a lot more humble. Every individual person is unique, and each contributes into her own talents and knowledge. A free society becomes more fulfilling and prosperous when these people join together and collaborate with one another. This is where genius and innovation take root. An individual pursuit and voluntary exchange, not a government bureaucracy and coercive dictates. There is no government wizard who knows everything about all of our collective needs and our collective chances. Each person is the world's top expert on his or her own unique skill. Recognized in the birth of Western civilization, an idea that is under stress and attack right now. It's the basis of democratic capitalism. It guided those who incarnated the American idea in a constitution that recognizes the natural limits of government. Free markets under the rule of law will always be the rock of our prosperity, and there is no substitution to that. person to prosper presupposes the freedom and right of every person born to be born and to live. Economic productivity begins and ends with the needs and purposes of a family household. Here's what I'm trying to say. Economic conservatism and social conservatism come from the same moral root.
Time where America takes its country back.